Call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
I caught up with Radio Adelaide's Zoe Canandis this morning and she updated us on what has been happening over the Tasman on coronavirus. And in Queensland, traditional landowners have blocked access to a coal mine owned by transnational company Adani. Here's Zoe.
Access to Adani's coal mine in Queensland, in central Queensland, it's been blocked by the traditional owners, the Wangang and Jagadagavu people. The dirt road that accesses the mine, they have said that they have evicted Adani from the land. They've had enough. They obviously oppose the Adani coal mine. They say they have re-established their tribal control of their lands and they've blocked workers from returning to the construction site. So a lot of the images, you see people sitting across the dirt road, obviously socially distancing with masks on and not letting workers back in. The Queensland government extinguished the native title over 1,385 hectares last year, and that granted this controversial mine a freehold title to Adani. And then there has obviously been so much rhetoric around this in Australia, so much opposition to it. Then on Monday we see the traditional owners oppose the mine and block the dirt road access to the site and take control.
So why was the Carmichael mine controversial in the first place? Is it because of conflicts with the traditional people?
That definitely, I would say, would be one of the main reasons why it was so controversial. It also is detrimental to the environment. It's really misleading about the environmental effects that they're going to be having. Yeah, I mean, it's so bad for the environment. I don't really have the scientific terms for you, but so many people are opposed to this mine because climate action in Australia, and it is one of the forefront of it's the forefront of this, really. It's in the Stop Adani campaign. It has been going on for so long. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think this could be connected to Prime Minister Scott Morrison's recent stand on climate change. I mean, I still haven't forgotten the image of him waving a lump of coal in Canberra during question time.
Yeah, he loves coal. But yeah, you're right. So it's totally evident to the sentiment that our government, the current government holds in Australia. They don't really care. They've got their money glasses on, and that's what Adani's coal mine is. It's a whole bunch of money. But it is at absolute sacrifice of this country and its environmental, its environment.
Maybe it's not more much of a South Australia issue, but is mining popular in your state, in South Australia?
In South Australia, nuclear test sites are really popular. Yeah, so we've had some similar issues to Adani in that they are not even test sites, sorry, waste dump sites. They want to dump a whole bunch of nuclear waste in the ground in South Australia. We have a fair bit of, if you look at a map of South Australia, our state is quite close to the coastline. A lot of that's where a lot of the population lives. And then there's, vast amounts of land. But obviously that land has traditional owners and wanting to bury nuclear waste deep into the ground, and fingers crossed that it doesn't cause really bad environmental disasters. That's what South Australia kind of
right. But where do those nuclear waste come from? Is it from the power stations in Australia, or maybe shipped in from overseas?
It's from overseas. So, yeah, it was this sort of high-level international nuclear waste dump, and those plans were, hoping to get nuclear waste from overseas, from different countries, and have it dumped there, and then South Australia would get money for it, to put it simply.
I never knew that South Australia is a dumping ground of international nuclear waste. That's the first time I heard of that.
Well, there was so much fight against it. I don't think it's come up and down again in consideration, but I don't think it's ever actually happened. But there's still a fight going on, and I think it's hard because I guess you see photos of outback Australia and vast amounts of land, but that doesn't mean that there should be nuclear waste dumped under there just because no one lives around there. You know what I mean? It's like, I know I'm not really. It's just so dumb, really, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it is. Moving on from nuclear waste and mining, now let's have an update on what's happening in Australia with regards to COVID-19. Has Melbourne lifted the lockdown yet?
No, not necessarily. So there are now 18,608 confirmed cases of coronavirus in Victoria. Please note that is since we first had it in Australia. So 18,000 plus cases altogether. The Premier was in talks to the Chief Health Officer that potentially they would go past September the 13th, which was when lockdown would be finishing for Victoria. So they're still in it. They're still in level four. And it's obviously getting pretty intense. I mean, they're the only state in level four lockdown, and they have to watch the rest of the country not be in level four lockdown. It's pretty harrowing, but that's not to say it's not the wrong thing to do. Like, they need to be in lockdown. Their cases have dramatically lessened. I think last time I was talking about it specifically, I was saying that it was about 700 cases overnight, but for example, the night before last, Victoria only recorded 149 new coronavirus cases. So the numbers are going down. The curve is, the curve is bending or whatever.
Flattening.
The curve is flattening, thank you. And it seems to be getting better, but whether they will have to continue in level four lockdown is soon to be decided, really. So I was understanding yesterday that because it was in a state of emergency, the police have power over what happens in the 6 weeks, over the government. And then after that 6 weeks, the government can go back to putting policies and stuff back in place. Because it's a state of emergency, the Victorian police have power over what needs to happen. So they put everyone in level four lockdown. And I think that is as long as it can last. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in September. I'm hoping that the best case scenario is that numbers drop dramatically and they're able to go back to level three, level two. Who knows if that'll actually happen, but the cases are dropping. And it's quite tragic.
Let's hope for the best. And what happens here is we are now having mandatory face coverings on public transport starting from Monday. Is it the same in maybe Melbourne or maybe even for Adelaide?
In Melbourne, definitely. Masks are not needing to be worn in shops and on public transport. And if anything, it's more of a common decency thing. But yeah, they have also made it it has to happen. People have to have masks on. However, if you then cross the border into South Australia here, unfortunately no one is wearing masks. I say unfortunately, I'm not wearing a mask. When I go out, it isn't mandatory at all. I guess if you were to have a cold or a cough, it would be really decent to wear a mask. But yeah, no one's wearing masks. So it's quite interesting. There's such a stark like difference between the two states and our experiences. I mean, I just say South Australia and Victoria, but I think Victoria and the rest of Australia, really. I'm not sure if anywhere else masks are mandatory, but in Victoria they are.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.